It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEF, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat Jill Duden and Melissa Watson of an important Illinois initiative around the needs of children for early and school-age care and education. Jill, you are the Regional Council Manager of Birth to Five Illinois, which covers Champaign and Ford counties. And Melissa, you are the Family and Community Engagement Specialist. And Birth to Five is a program of the statewide organization, the Illinois Network of Child Care Resource and Referral Agencies, which is an umbrella in providing leadership and resources for programs for children and families across the state. So let's start with the basics. Whoever wants to launch in to describe the scope and programs of what Birth to Five Illinois does, and also, well, your state home, and then your local initiatives.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having us on today. Really appreciate the time to chat with you. My name is Jill Duden, and I serve as the Regional Council Manager for Birth to Five Illinois, Region 9, as you said, serving Champaign and Ford counties. And so we just are appreciative of the opportunity today to come on and talk a little bit about who we are and what we do and kind of some of our plans moving forward. Birth to Five Illinois is a statewide agency divided up into 39 different regions throughout the state of Illinois. And it was kicked off almost 5 years ago now. And the idea at that time was really just to create that regional infrastructure among each local county and area, because we know the needs of early childhood regionally are different, quite different throughout the state. Those needs in inner city Chicago versus the needs of Southern Illinois versus our needs right here in Champaign County are very different. And so having those kind of on the ground teams locally with local connections and in many cases prior experience working in the childcare settings in our backyards really helps us to move the needle and make progress in terms of improving early childhood. So really, Birth to Five Illinois is a family community engagement organization. We serve really as that community backbone, bringing families and communities together to improve Illinois early childhood systems. And we really achieve this through collective impact, really the idea of bringing folks together at the table, making those connections, and the idea that collectively we can do more as a group than we can individually. We really center the voices of families, which Melissa will talk about in a bit, as well as professionals and providers within the area. As I said, we're statewide. There's 39 other regions. If your listeners are familiar at all with the Regional Office of Education, they're divided up into 39 regions. So we have the same number. So we're Region 9, very similar to ROE 9, which serves the same counties. And so really, we're tasked with assessing the systems of early childhood within the region, really figuring out where the strengths are for us, where are the gaps, and creating some plans and goals based on what we're hearing from the community, as well as what we're hearing from our councils, really bringing those local community members together. And we're really trying to continually assess those early childhood programs within the communities and counties that we serve, to understand what's available versus what families are telling us that they need, and to bring those community folks together in order to help bridge the gap. from what we're hearing from the community.
And this is a very substantially changing landscape. I know in this community, particularly, I was on the Urbana School Board for 6 years, and so I was aware of a lot of the programs, and many of them have gotten cut over the years. How do you start assessing what the resources are in the local community?
When we kicked off a few years ago, we started with what we called a regional needs assessment. So essentially, that was just lots of digging into the data. We partnered up with the U of I here locally. They have a wonderful data system for early childhood data called iCAM. Talking with a lot of community members, lots of surveys, lots of interviews, and so spent a great amount of time. All regions did at Birth to Five Illinois to complete that initial regional needs assessment. And so, based on that original assessment, it kind of helped sort of our vision moving forward in terms of where we want to focus our attention and our resources, who we want to serve with us on our council. And that kind of started it. And then a couple of years ago, we introduced mental and behavioral health because we know that that's a concern statewide. And so a needs assessment was done statewide again for each region based on mental and behavioral health needs and services for young children. And then just recently, we updated our needs assessment and will this summer have a new updated report out about any changes or improvements in the region concerning early childhood.
How are these reports distributed? Are they accessible to, say, a family looking for what programs might be available for their children?
If any family or community member is interested in digging a little deeper into the research that's already been done, as well as some of the goals and things that we're working on, they're welcome to visit our website. You can search by each region, or you can just start at Birth to Five. That's birthtofiveil.com, birthtofiveil.com. And you can search for your region, but on each regional page, they have not just resources that they've created for their regional level, but also do have links to those updated regional needs assessment reports, the focus on behavioral health, and then the action plans that each region has developed to address those gaps that were identified.
What happens to those action plans?
Every region, as Jill mentioned, has unique needs. So each region has been tasked with developing action plans over the last few years. And that's the really beautiful thing about our organization is that no action plan looks exactly the same. And everyone has different approaches that work within their communities, with their folks and their stakeholders. So with those action plans, we really rely on our councils, which we'll get into a little bit later. We have a family council that's made up of parent leaders in the community, and an action council made up of community members who just have a vested interest in using their work or their professional experience, or just their passion to improve early childhood. And we develop those goals with those council members, as the final decision makers. They're really the ones who help us come up with the ideas of who should we be talking to in the community, what area in the community really needs our focus right now. Some items that we've worked on previously for Region 9 include just inspiring the workforce, really getting information out there for the early childhood workforce in terms of what higher education opportunities and professional development opportunities exist for them. We created a higher education opportunity infographic that has a list of really the popular early childhood higher ed programs that exist here in Region 9 that are utilized. We connected with our local child care resource and referral agency. Some people might know it as CCRS. We're very lucky. They're housed right out of the University of Illinois. But we met with their navigators. They're essentially the folks who assist teachers in getting on the track to pursuing higher education, professional development. And so we met with CCRS navigators a few times, talked to our council members about what we wanted this graphic to look like, what information would be important for thinking of a regular average teacher, early childhood professional that's in a classroom, really wants to get that professional development going for them, reach, attain a higher credential level or a higher certificate, maybe moving from an assistant teacher to a lead teacher. And what would information would be best for those teachers to know. And so what our counselors came back to us was knowing which colleges are available for them, most easily accessible here. And then on the reverse side, just options of scholarship assistant, grant assistance to help those educators reach those goals. And then also career pathways. A lot of people say, I like children, I like working with children, but I'm not exactly sure what that could look like long term. So just those very small details that came from our council members directly in terms of what do we think that our community needs to see right now from us.
And when you talk about looking at the workforce, we all hear so much about the shortage of people working in childcare and early education. And I think so much of that has to do with salaries, really, inadequate support for people in the field. Are there ways you're able to advocate and recruit for people to make a more robust workforce here?
Not directly advocate and go out and recruit specific folks to work in individual centers. Really, we lean heavily on, kind of as Melissa mentioned, that information piece and really getting out into the community to talk to existing teachers. We've also delivered this message to high school guidance counselors, hoping to relay that we need good teachers out there. And, if you enjoy working with children, here are some pathways you could consider. Here are some colleges that might be a good fit for you. And really just having that direct communication with a lot of center directors about their needs, about their challenges. And we help facilitate a quarterly meeting of the child care director group here in Champaign County. And that's a wonderful opportunity for directors to come together, talking about what's working, what's not working, what has been a local win. And a recent win, we bring in maybe a resource spotlight. For example, in a couple of weeks, we have a quarterly meeting with the directors, and we're going to bring in a representative from the TAP organization to talk about autism services. So, just really trying to be, again, that backbone organization to help with resources, help with connections, how we can. And many of the other regions statewide are doing similar work because we know the shortage of teachers is a statewide issue. And so the hope is through our leverage statewide, we can inform legislators. We do talk with local elected officials, and then statewide, our leadership team is doing the same to maybe find some solutions statewide to help with the teacher shortage and increasing pay and
I will say too, one of the items that was actually a piece in our original action plan was really digging into the information about what the wage disparity really looked like for early childhood professionals. Jill and I both come from early childhood backgrounds. Both of us have both been directors and teachers previously ourselves. So it is something we're both passionate about and advocating for the workforce in our own ways, whether that's connecting them to those resources or those professional development opportunities. But we did create our salary and wages and benefits infographic. We kind of joke it's our pretty ugly graphic because it design-wise looks awesome. It's a very eye-catching design, but unfortunately, the information is pretty sad when we look at the fact that even directors who have to, at minimum, have an associate's degree for licensing standards here in Illinois, they're not even making the living wage comparative to that in the state or in the country. So we, as individuals who can't necessarily advocate, what we are able to do is provide individuals in our community, whether that's our council members or partner organizations, with that information, that data, and say, these are things that you guys can help us say and advocate. We're really big on giving our parent leaders that are on our family council a leg up to be able to find their voice and be able to speak up for the things that they believe in and helping them, lead to platforms where they're able to do that. So handing them that information, handing the legislators that salary infographic that has on the reverse side, what is Illinois already doing to kind of bridge these gaps, but also what are some additional ideas that those legislators could take home and think about? Those are really the kind of tools that we try to give out to the community members to help us carry that work.
describe how you put together and the work of the Family and Action Councils.
So our Action Council, as Melissa mentioned earlier, is made up of community professionals. We can have up to 20 members on each Action Council. Again, there's 39 of those that serve throughout the state. And these could be folks from varying backgrounds and professions, but really we just ask that they have some type of vested interest and professional interest in lifting up the profession or moving the needle in some positive way for early childhood. So currently on our Action Council, just to give you some examples, we've got a hospital social worker, we've got a home visitor, we've got representative from Child Care Resource Service, and so a child care director. And so these folks come together monthly, and we essentially lead those meetings and provide them with updates on maybe showing them the latest flyer that we're working on or getting their feedback on kind of next steps with a certain goal that might be on our action plan. And they also help us at outreach events. They attend with us for those to engage with families, pass out goodies, explain a little bit about Birth 5 Illinois. Right now, we're working on a new project for a mental and behavioral health resource guide for families with young children. So our council members will at times help us to do some of those kind of legwork pieces behind the scenes, maybe calling and verifying agency numbers and websites, that sort of thing. They're asked to serve up to 3 years. They serve a year at a time. And then after that year, we kind of have a conversation to see if they'd like to return. They can commit to another year, but they can serve up to 3 years with us. And Melissa can talk a little bit more about the family councils.
Family Council is so exciting because it really is giving parents the opportunity to speak up about what they actually need. Having worked in a daycare, I'm a parent myself. We have a lot of opinions, and those opinions are valid. What the goal with Birth of Five Illinois is to see what families actually need, and we need those families, those parents and caregivers to participate with us and be able to share their expertise. We do consider them experts. So our family council is also up to 20 individuals from the region who are parents and caregivers. You don't have to be just mom and dad. You can be a foster parent, you can be an adoptive parent, you can be from really any sort of family background, next of kin, as long as you are the primary caregiver of a child 8 or younger who lives in or receives services in the area. And those parent leaders are, again, you're invited up to 3 years, but it's at 1 year increments. But here at the local level, we meet with our councils separately but monthly. So I facilitate the family council and Jill facilitates the action council meetings. And those are those opportunities for us to reflect on what we've been doing for the month, get that feedback from those families. We also want to make sure that our family council members know how important the work that they're doing and the time that they're providing to us is. And so we do pay our parent leaders for their time. We offer a quarterly stipend for those parents who are able to participate with us. But some of our parent leaders have gone on to host workshops or breakout rooms at local conferences. We just had a parent leader who facilitated a breakout room on building community around you, which was really exciting. We had another parent leader who spoke to their lived experience at an Illinois Drug Endangered Children's Conference. One question I like to pose always is, if you were standing in front of the person who was in control of this situation, a legislator or director or a professional, what is it that you would like them to know? I just posed this question to my council members this last week in terms of navigating systems. And a lot of our council members said, just knowing that navigating those systems is intimidating. So making the process easier, more accessible for families, smaller wait times, especially for those families who are already struggling. So getting that kind of information, it might not seem like a lot to maybe even those parents or to folks that might be listening, but every piece of the story matters. We do also have an option on our website called Family and Community Stories, where individuals, whether or not they're on our councils or they're just folks living in the community, they can leave a story about their experiences navigating early childhood systems, whether that's receiving EI services, struggling to find childcare, that works for their family and their needs, but also professionals can fill out regarding their experiences serving families in the community. We were really lucky and got for Mental Health Awareness Month. We wanted to highlight some mental health professionals who serve families in our community. So we got a local home visitor from one of our home visiting agencies, as well as a early childhood mental health consultant who also serves families here in the region to complete very moving, powerful stories about the work that they're doing. But we just as well want those family member stories too, because it's kind of that qualitative data piece. We can look at all the numbers about child care slots available or number of providers that are available for families with kids under 5, but it's really those pieces of, well, we need more bilingual services or culturally responsive services, especially here in Champaign, Urbana, where we have such a large immigrant community, just kind of those nuanced pieces that really can't be reflected in numerical data. That's a lot of what our council members are able to provide for us.
Can you give a kind of thumbnail of what you have found of the needs of our community specifically, and how those may compare with other areas in the state? Just where do we stand in Champaign and Ford counties?
Melissa touched on it. In Champaign County, we have a higher immigrant population than do many other surrounding counties, at least. And so we have leaned into that and done a lot of work with, for example, translating our existing resource guides into, I think we're up to 5 different languages now. And so we know that's a need, not just to provide the information to families in a different language, but to really connect with those services that are supporting those families as, and encouraging them to reach out with questions and connecting them with those resources that they need. In the past, at least just few days, we've heard about a local childcare center closing.
That's the one at Parkland. That's a
Yeah.
serious blow.
We hear of others that are struggling, and it's a challenge for sure for childcare centers to operate. They have to think of it in business terms, and I understand that, and they have to charge what they have to for their bottom line, but it's also very difficult for families to afford quality childcare. And so that is part of what we do, is just collecting that information. In Ford County specifically, we found they're losing several family childcare providers. So that's folks who provide childcare out of their home, which is a resource in many small communities that families utilize. We're finding that that group is of the, older generation. Many of those providers are thinking about retiring. And there's not many young childcare professionals that are willing to and able to take on the torch and offer that service. And so, in a few years, we may see something of a crisis point in many of our rural counties, but Ford County is included in that.
I did want to add too, just so that it's not all doom and gloom. It kind of sometimes feels a lot like when we're doing our reports, like, oh, is there, what's the positive here? Because there is a lot of positives. We're seeing more children just by our participation with the local interagency councils that assist with early intervention. We're seeing more children that are getting screened and getting early referrals for early intervention services. So that's a positive. A close collaborator of ours is the Champaign County Home Visiting Consortium, which has 7 home visiting agencies that all work together to provide those home visiting services and developmental screenings and things like that for families with really young kiddos. So we're very fortunate to have that collaboration here in our own backyard. We're also very lucky to have the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and Parkland both have pretty strong early childhood professional programs. Parkland's had shuttered a little bit for a brief time after COVID, but then with the new ECAC scholarship, which is a very long acronym that I can get to you, but I believe it's like Early Access Consortium. It's a grant scholarship opportunity that was provided again with this governor's initiative to really put early childhood at the forefront of what we're working on in our state. And so it's a scholarship opportunity that allows for early childhood educators to have their education covered, at least in large part. I personally am a recipient of that scholarship, for which I am very, very grateful. And so those programs have both been able to put out several cohorts of new teachers in our community. So we are seeing the trends upward in getting that awareness out in the community, really seeing this shift in cultural understanding of what early childhood is and how important it is and how important the workforce is to children's overall lifetime success and academic outcomes. So there are some positives there.
You have a specific outreach event coming up on June 24th. I want to be sure that you get the word out about your virtual lunch and learn.
It's really an opportunity for the community at large to hop on virtually with us for an hour, and we'll discuss a lot of topics that we went through with you today, but then also dive in a little deeper to council involvement for those that may be interested in serving with us on either the Family Council or the Action Council. We'll have representation from our current council on the call, and they'll speak a little bit about their experience and some of the work they've done with us. And so that's via Zoom. You can find the invite on our Facebook page, Birth to Five Illinois Region 9. If you search that on Facebook, we'll pop up. We would encourage your listeners to follow us on Facebook. That will really allow for the best chance for folks if they want to be updated on our work, our events that we're hosting, as well as community resources. We share a lot of information about the mental health services locally and lately, since that's been our focus, but really just community events in general and our work specifically in Region 9. So yes, we'd love to have folks join us Wednesday the 24th at noon. With the new Illinois Department of Early Childhood that's kicking off July 1, we will be under that umbrella. And they're really hoping to streamline services and provide more efficient use of licensing procedures and background checks. And we hope through time that with that new department, it will provide an opportunity to let folks, the leadership levels within the state, know what's going on locally and the trends we're seeing statewide.
We are recruiting currently for our Family Council and our Action Council. Those interest forms are located on our website, birthtofiveil.com. There's a red header at the top of the website that they can click. There will be information sessions available in English and Spanish multiple times throughout the summer if folks aren't quite ready to commit to filling out that interest form but want to have a little bit more information ahead of time. They're welcome to register for those. And we really want more parent input, especially as in this upcoming year, we start taking a look at those early childhood systems again, still paying attention to the mental and behavioral stuff, the previous action plan stuff. But as we're developing new goals and seeing this new Illinois Department of Early Childhood roll out, we really want to hear from the community and the people using the services, what's working and what's not.
Well, thank you both, Jill and Melissa. We've crammed a lot into this time. I feel like we've been talking fast. So I so appreciate your bringing all this information. And I know that there are listeners out there who will be very glad to hear this.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for allowing us
Yes.
the time to speak with you. Enjoyed it.
With thanks to Jill Duden and Melissa Watson of Birth to Five Illinois for bringing information about all the statewide and local initiatives around needs for childcare and early childhood education. Do look up the full story on their website, birth25il.com, and take note of their virtual lunch and learn session on June 24th for Champaign and Ford counties. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeaddamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.